This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie's out today. EJ Stewart is sitting in the big chair. And you're going to hear a lot of I told you so from EJ, because I've been saying that the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to roll in this series. I think you, did you pick the Thunder, EJ, or did you pick
I picked the Thunder in six.
Okay. Yeah. So the Indiana Pacers jump out to a 2-1 lead, and we're going to break down the game. To me, the Pacers did a great job. Credit Andrew Nembhard for his Tasmanian Devil defense on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Rick Carlisle outcoached Mark Daigneault big time.
Yep.
But I cannot look at that game and say, what happened to the energy of the Oklahoma City Thunder? It looked from the get-go, even when they were winning in the first half, they looked disinterested. They looked tired. They were three times. They threw an inbounds pass off of a made basket straight to the Pacers, and the Pacers weren't even really pressing. That if I was a coach, I would have pulled every guy who threw that pass out of the game immediately except for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I thought that Mark Daigneault panicked because the Pacers had an early bench run, and then Daigneault, the coach of the Thunder, said, I'm not going to use my bench guys. So then what happened was your starters played more minutes than they're used to. They looked very tired by the end, and the Pacers just rolled in the fourth quarter.
To remix a quote from the former Miami Hurricanes coach, Manny Diaz, this is what the Pacers do to you. And like to me, like if you've watched the Indiana Pacers all season, this really shouldn't be that surprising. If you watch them during the playoffs, it shouldn't be that surprising. This is what they do. They hit you, they hit you, they hit you, and you feel like, you know what, this team isn't that overly talented, and we feel like we should be fine, but the problem is it's death by 10,000 paper cuts, and we're wearing these teams out. They're wearing the Thunder out, and they wore them out in that game, too.
Isn't that the Thunder's MO as well? I thought, you know, actually, they actually said death by 1,000 paper cuts about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's offensive game last night. That's a Thunder. Why are you wearing out? The one thing, the Thunder are the deepest team in the NBA. So I thought that wasn't going to happen here. I thought Indiana, and we all said this, was a better matchup with Oklahoma City because they went 10 deep, where the Knicks, who are very talented but are very thin, you know, they really only go 6 deep. But the Thunder have the best bench in the NBA. Like, where was it last night?
Well, Daigneault shortened the bench, right? You only got 10 minutes from Wiggins. You only got 4 minutes from Isaiah Joe, and you got 2 minutes from Kenrich Williams. And I think what you notice in the playoffs, and especially during these NBA finals, is that role players are much better at home than they are on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Daigneault saw that second quarter where Mathurin and McConnell just went crazy on them. Benedict Mathurin had 14 points in the second quarter. I think McConnell had 4 assists. And he said, I don't trust these guys.
Yep.
And that ended up really playing to the Pacers' advantage, is what you saw in that fourth quarter. It just nothing from Chet, who was great in the first quarter, but had zero in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Nothing from Jalen Williams, and nothing from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who to me was not aggressive and settled for some really bad twos.
Well, yeah, but did you notice that the Pacers changed up their defense on him in a major way? They watched the tape, I think, of the Thunder against Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards got picked up 94 feet against Oklahoma City. That's exactly what they did last night. They were bugging him from the get-go.
That's how the Pacers play. Like, that's what
they were doing that the first two games, I noticed. I'm like, they're letting Shai, they're not pressuring Shai until he gets into the top of the three-point line, and it's killing them.
And
last night they did.
Yeah, it was silly because, to me, if you watch the Pacers, they did that to Donovan Mitchell. They did that to Jalen Brunson. Like, that is what they do to star guards. I don't know if it's because Shea is taller. I don't know if it's because they feel like Shea is such a foul baiter that maybe they felt like they would get in foul trouble. But whatever they thought, Rick Carlisle said, you know what? We're going to go to what we do, which is we're going to full court press. We're going to wear these guys out. And it's working. And I think that when you look at the San Diego Pacers team, I just don't know how anybody could be underestimating them at this point anymore. They are not necessarily a star-driven team, so to speak, in terms of the biggest names, but they got a lot of good ball players, and they play like a team, which is what's going to make them dangerous for the rest of these finals.
Yeah, but I think the Oklahoma City Thunder, you could say all those things about them. I know they have a transcendent star, the MVP, in SGA, but they play like a team, too. And last night, it was the turnovers. I mean, what are they? They were just, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was six turnovers, some of them incredibly lazy.
Yeah.
Like, just, dude, there was a play where Jalen Williams was getting pressed, and he clearly should have passed the ball, but he tried to make a point of, I can dribble out of this, and of course he got the ball stolen. There were so many little plays that the Thunder did that I think they want back. I think they want that whole game back, because they had the lead most of the game. Lou Dort was hitting his threes.
Yep.
SGA was hitting his shots. Jalen Williams was hitting his shots. As you mentioned, Chet Holmgren had a good first half. I think, but you saw sort of the seeds of the loss early in the game, because it was the loose balls and the turnovers. The energy was all about the Pacers. It's not just that this is a young team on the road. Mm-hmm. Like, you could feel that they didn't have the confidence that they have in OKC.
Yeah, as the game got tighter, they got tighter. Yeah. Missing free throw, they were
free
throw line in the fourth quarter is not going to get it done either. And I thought that the Pacers, to me, looked poised throughout. Anytime OKC made a run, you never saw them panic. And to me, I think the key to this series, besides turnovers, Pacers won a turnover battle last night as well, is how aggressive Tyrese Haliburton is. If Tyrese Haliburton is going to decide that he's going to be just a guy who's just going to stand in the corner, throw the pass, and then just run around, they don't have a shot. They need somebody who's going to put pressure on the Oklahoma City Thunder defense. When you have pressure coming at you, you got to attack them with pressure. I thought Haliburton was aggressive all night, getting downhill. He forced the OKC Thunder to pressure him and come at him, and then it allowed him to get early assists. And then when the fourth quarter came, he was able to hit some step back threes, because then that was opened up.
I think when he's
aggressive, the Pacers are an entirely different team. They're way more dangerous when he's looking for his shot than he did last night.
Well, actually, it's funny because he did not shoot a lot in the first quarter.
Right.
He didn't even take his first shot. And so some people point out, hey, this idea that Tyrese Haliburton has to shoot more. I don't think that's true. And I don't think that's exactly what you're saying, because he wasn't shooting a lot at all.
It's about aggression. It's not even so much about shots. Mm-hmm. There was too many times in the first two games where it felt like he was so happy with just simply running the offense, just throw the ball to somebody else and cut.
Right.
And he wasn't really trying to be aggressive. He wasn't forcing the action. And you got to be careful with the Thunder, because you force too much, that's when they hound you and they get those turnovers.
Yeah.
I think in some ways he was giving the Thunder almost too much credit defensively. He's an all-star guard. Like, he's got to attack them.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but to me, that is not the storyline of the game, because Haliburton had 22 points last night.
Right.
He went over 30 twice against the Knicks. I mean, it was, to me, that was the bench. That was one man fueling this energy drive from the bench. It was TJ McConnell getting everyone fired up. I think it was not Tyrese Haliburton in the starting lineup. It wasn't Miles Turner, who had five blocks. I think it was the bench changed the tone of that game, because they out-energied the OKC bench, and which was shocking. There was one little sub that, it's a small thing. I thought that Daigneault should have played Isaiah Joe more.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Because he can hit a three-point shot. Alex Caruso's guy was clearly shading on the SGA all night long. They don't have any concern about Alex Caruso. It's an offensive player. So the OKC have to go back to the drawing board.
This is something to me that it bothers me with a lot of NBA coaches, and I'm a big fan of Daigneault. Yep. But to me, you can't overreact to one bad quarter, one bad stretch.
Yep.
Like, to me, that second quarter, like, Isaiah Joe is probably their worst defensive player. And he made some shots. I think he was 2-for-2 in the game. But the defense struggled.
2-for-2 from three, by
right? Exactly. He made two threes. He's an excellent shooter.
Then they called a weak, weak foul on him.
Yeah,
and they lost the confidence.
Then that was it. And to me, like, the second quarter, Daigneault panicked, and then he didn't have any more trust in some of those guys on the bench. I agree. I think that, to me, besides Dort, it seemed like no one else really could relieve any pressure from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from three. You know Joe can hit a shot, so I think he should have played as well.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, you talked about it at the top, where it was like, EJ will say, I told you so. And I will say, I told you so. And I will say that they called me a madman. But can you see now, can you now finally admit that the Eastern Conference is not a JV league?
No.
The Indiana Pacers are up 2-1 against a team that you said was a coming dynasty, a team that you said could get.
Yes.
They were going to potentially sweep this series. And now the Pacers, who you underestimated, are in the driver's seat in these NBA finals.
No, I'm not going to give you that. Tell you why. Because I'm watching Shams come out before the game and describe all these stars who are migrating from the East to the West. Now,
forget about the offseason. You said coming into the season, you kept saying the records, well, okay. 50 wins. You were talking about stuff that happened during the regular season. I'm talking about what's happening in the future.
A couple things here. Are the Indiana Pacers underdogs in the series still? And were they huge underdogs coming in?
Sure, but that doesn't mean anything. They're up in the
series. Was it the biggest win differential between the East and the West since 1995?
I guess so, because I don't know those stats, but I'm sure. But how many of those wins was because of the Thunder? Again, the Thunder were a 68-win team.
Right. That's my point. Thunder are gigantic favorites in this series. I feel like
favorites right now?
What's that?
Do they look like favorites? Wait, did they look like favorites last night?
If you're so confident in the Pacers, take your
it's not about me being confident in the Pacers.
Lofty salary here and put it on the Pacers, because I tell you, you still have great odds on the Pacers.
I wish it was a lofty salary. I mean, it's not about in terms of my confidence in the Pacers. It was that this idea that the Eastern Conference were going to go up against the mighty OKC Thunder and get completely destroyed.
Yes, that's what everybody thought, right, including yourself, to some degree.
But it's not happening.
I understand. It's 2-1 Indiana. I understand that. I'm not arguing. So I'm just saying that this is a gigantic upset. This is a surprise. I think Oklahoma City is just as surprised as I am. I think they looked stunned last night. They looked like a boxer who just got caught by a left hook and had no idea it was coming.
I agree, but again, at a certain point, you got to give the Pacers credit. It can't just be everything about the OKC.
No, the Pacers are great, but I'm just saying I think the West is way better than the East, and I think that varsity JV thing. I mean, look at next year. Next year is going to be ridiculous because the Celtics are dismantling, and Jason Tatum, they probably won't have. Who knows? The Cavs might dismantle. So the Pacers, are they the dominant team? They only had 50 wins this year. It's very rare for a team with 50 wins. I know they played much better in the second half, but it's very, very rare for a team with that many wins to win the title. And the players they're putting out there are not your typical NBA Finals stars. I know you think T.J. McConnell is the second coming of Danny Ainge or something,
but he was a scrub
in Philadelphia when I had him on the Sixers. He is a second round. There are a lot of role players who are playing way over their head in the Pacers. These are not your typical NBA Finals stars. This to me is a Cinderella team.
I don't agree with that assessment though, because the Pacers have veteran leadership. Pascal Siakam is a guy who's an NBA champion. I think he's the only guy on the court that has a ring. So you got him out there, besides Caruso, of course. You got him out there. You got Haliburton, who's an all-star guard. Miles Turner's been an NBA veteran. He's been a starting center for 10 years.
Miles Turner got his lunch taken by Cat in the round.
How do you guard Chet in the fourth quarter?
Honestly, Chet's not that good.
What do you mean Chet's not that
Chet's
good?
Chet's not that good.
So wait, how can you, so you started with saying
Chet
that,
is a
so you say it's a yeah, JV, yeah. So you say the East is a JV league, and you're saying the Thunder are so great, then I'm saying, well, Miles Turner locked up Chet Holmgren in the fourth quarter. He said, well, Chet's not that good.
Because
maybe the team you kept talking about, maybe the Western Conference isn't as great as you think it was.
So you thought that the odds that were heavily like plus 750 for Oklahoma City, you thought that was a horrible mistake then?
Yes. I said, we've been doing this show. We've been talking behind the glass. How many times have I told you that this is going to be a series? You've been saying this for weeks.
Right. Okay.
And it is.
You have to do a show bet then, because you have so much faith in the Pacers. It feels like you're playing Monday morning quarterback on this series.
How am I playing Monday morning quarterback when I've said on the show for weeks? So are you saying right now,
EJ Stewart filling in for Maggie Grady, are you saying right now the series is over and the Pacers are going to win it?
No, I picked the Thunder to win.
So who are you picking today?
Right now, I'm still leaning Thunder.
Okay.
I'm still leaning Thunder. But to me, if the Thunder were playing against a JV team, this series would be over. It would be a four-game sweep.
I didn't say they were a JV team. I said it's a JV conference.
Right, but you said anybody that came out of East was going to get slaughtered. And that's just not happening.
And I offered you a gigantic show bet, and you turned it down.
You know why? Because I'm a Knicks fan. And I'm not going to put any kind of faith or any kind of hope or root for the Indiana Pacers. Are you kidding me? I'm watching Reggie Miller sitting there with his kids. The kid's wearing the choke sign shirt. You want me to sit there and wave a yellow towel in my house? Hell no, I'm not doing that.
Okay, that's the question, I think. Who's going to win this series? EJ's got OKC. I'm going Pacers.
You're going Pacers now?
Yeah, this is over.
What?
I was wrong about this series. I think it's reminding me of the Cavs series. I think OKC probably kind of lost it last night.
We're gonna get a text message on Saturday morning from Perloff saying, I'm back on the Thunder bandwagon if the Thunder get a win.
I was wrong about this series.
You really think the Pacers are gonna win the series now?
I think it's gonna be this is reminding me a lot of the Cavs series.
The Cavs Pacers series
where the Pacers came out throwing punches and the Cavs were shocked by what the Pacers were doing. I just think you saw that Mark Daigneault is not a great coach last night. I think you saw that Alex Caruso is not designed for the series at all. I think they found a formula for SGA. Now, I'm not taking back the take. Like, the West is so much better than the East. That just because the Pacers could win the series does not change that. It's crazy. Next year, it's going to be insane.
I don't know how that doesn't change that. Because, like, literally the team that you said had no chance to win and was a representation of why the Eastern Conference is weak is kicking the ass of the team that won 68 games.
Well, there's 16 teams in both or 15 teams in both conferences. I just think top to bottom, the West is so much better. That doesn't mean that there's not a fluke win, and this is definitely fluky. I mean, this is probably be I think it's going to be the biggest underdog. If they do win the series, it'll be the biggest underdog, Vegas odds-wise, in 35 years. I mean, but it's a huge upset.
I want to send a message to Vegas, though, because and Maggie has said this in this chair, and I think she's been right about this. They have to stop overrating regular season wins and regular season numbers and making that the end-all, be-all. We're seeing too often in the playoffs teams that are lower seeds, teams that are advancing deep, teams that are higher seeds getting bounced early in the playoffs. Like the OKC Thunder, I've been on that bandwagon for 2 years, so you know how much I respect that team. But because they kept looking at the win total of one team and the Pacers' 50 win total and said, well, that means blowout series. It's like, well, no, look at the matchups. Look at how these teams are playing. The Pacers clearly are not playing like a 50 win team. That's obvious. Yeah.
People who say that Vegas doesn't know what they're doing, to me, are not serious people.
Do they look like they know what they're doing? The Pacers Thunder are in deep trouble right now.
Their science on this is so much smarter than these. Take the smartest sports analysts in the history of the world. Take Bob Costas combined with Stephen A, combined with Zach Lowe. Vegas is 100 times smarter than all of them combined. Their numbers are so much more advanced than any analyst. To say Vegas is stupid, to me, immediately you're discounting.
Then how come they didn't pick the Pacers to go to the finals? How come they didn't pick the Mavs to go to the finals last year? How come they didn't pick the Heat, who were an eighth seed, to go to the NBA finals? They've been missing wildly on the NBA playoffs. That's obvious, Pearl.
Oh, my God.
What did I just say that was false? All those things are true.
Well, but generally, their numbers are much more predictive than any analysis. Like, their spreads are done very... First of all, they're making spreads to draw people in.
Yeah.
They're not saying who's going to win. They're trying to say, how do we get the most action here?
Yeah.
But there's nobody who's smarter than their odds. Like, their odds are very, very advanced, how they come up with those. Like, to say they're stupid is like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, but they've made massive mistakes when it comes to predicting outcomes in the playoffs. They may have been able to predict champions like that, I would say, because we've gotten pretty much the favorites every year to win championships. But in terms of teams getting to the finals or advancing, they've wildly missed. Every year in the playoffs, there's been a team that's gone from a Cinderella run all the way to the finals or close to it.
But obviously, though, no individual is smart, well, except for, like, betting experts. If you knew all this, then you could win tons of money by betting against Vegas. But obviously you can't, because nobody can.
Well, no, but the thing is, I think what you're seeing, and this is something to your point about baseball, is I think the NBA playoffs is becoming a little like baseball, where I do feel like it's a little wild and unpredictable. Yeah. Like, who would have thought that the Knicks would have beaten the Celtics after losing four games to them in the regular season, getting blown out in most of those games?
Not me.
Like, who would have thought that the Pacers would go on this magical run where they would beat a one seed Cavs and then beat the Knicks, who are now healthy after only beating them in seven games when they were injured last season? Okay. Like, it's one of those things where I do feel like it's a lot more unpredictable now than it's ever been.
Okay, so if that's being said, the Oklahoma City Thunder are -220 to win the series. Indiana Pacers are +185. It's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
So I will actually front you the money to make a bet on the Pacers. Do you feel confident in that bet because Vegas, quote unquote, doesn't know what they're doing when it comes to this?
No, but I'm saying the Thunder are going to win. I'm staying 10 tones down what I thought was going to happen. Okay. I said this was going to be a very competitive series. Mm. I said the Thunder would be tested, and I think they will win in six games. Now, it looked like it might be seven. Like, now they have to win three games in a row. That sounds a little daunting, but I'm saying that for you. You're the one flipping. You're the one who should take the bet. You're the one who's flipping off the bandwagon already.
You don't think I jumped all over that last hit? First of all, one, live betting the Pacers. I saw in the second quarter, I'm like, oh, the Thunder are lackadaisical right now. It was the turnovers underneath the basket. I'm like, what are you doing? Did you party too late through last night in Indiana? Like, they just look tired. They look like they were not even mentally in the game. It was strange. All right, we want to hear from you. Who's going to win the series? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Can the Pacers take this 2-1 lead all the way to the NBA Finals? All right, coming up next, we have some interesting sound on who is to blame for Oklahoma City's Game 3 loss. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart in for Maggie, who is off today. She would have liked to be here because I've been saying the Oklahoma City Thunder would win the series easily. Obviously, that is not the case. We were just discussing in the break. EJ says the Pacers won the turnover battle. That's what they do. They lost the turnover battle 25-7 in game one. The Oklahoma City Thunder are incredible at creating turnovers. Last night, the script was totally flipped, and they were passing the ball like they just didn't care. What was going on with OKC and the ball handling last night?
Battle of attrition. Again, like, this is how the Pacers play. You play early in the series, you feel like a sense of comfort. Even if you drop a game to them, you say, okay, we may have outplayed them even though we lost. The problem is the amount of energy it takes to combat what they're doing. It wears on you.
But the Thunder love a high pace. They are a team that creates more turnovers than anyone. You know, definitely... They won the turnover battles in game one decisively. Game two, they won the turnover battle. They strip everything, and then they got their own medicine last night.
But when you say they like a high pace, they like to run off of causing turnovers. They're not necessarily a team that's pushing off of makes, pushing off of misses. They kind of are a half court team. Like, it's about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and how he operates in the half court, and Jalen Williams in the half court. They're not a running gun team. They run off turnovers. The Pacers are running no matter what. It could be a turnover, it could be a miss, it could be a rebound. And when you're having to guard that team, that also affects your offense. Like, people think, oh, because, like, we're a running team, we'll be fine. It's like, well, you have to guard the other team too. So the Pacers are not just wearing you down defensively because they're full court pressuring you. They're also running on every single play, and that also takes energy. So when you see the fourth quarter, you say, why are these guys missing shots? Why are they turning the ball over? It's because the Pacers are systematically wearing you down as the game goes on both sides of the ball.
That's what the Thunder do. I mean, the Thunder, by the way, do like pace. They scored 124 in the last win over the T-Wolves, 128 the game before that. They've way over 110. Like, they score a ton of points.
Right, but how many of those points are off turnovers?
A ton of them.
My point. I'm saying when it comes to pace.
That first game where they lost, they were not actually getting a lot of live ball turnovers. They were all sort of Pacers mistakes that led to inbounds plays and dead ball turnovers. But generally, like, Oklahoma City should not be losing the turnover battle decisively. That is way, way out of
this
character.
This series is going to be the shoulda, woulda, coulda for the OKC Thunder. And I'm going to keep repeating. It's like, or the Pacers are good.
So you thought that was in character for the Thunder last night. You didn't think something looked a little off. I mean,
no,
four times they threw the inbounds play off a miss straight to the Pacers. It was almost as if they were in a nap, like, in a daze. Like, they had just woken up and they didn't know where they were. There were so many dumb mistakes. And they're going to look at the tape this morning, and I think they're really going to kick themselves.
No, what I thought was, this looks like Pacer basketball. You're saying, what did this look like? You're saying, did it look like Thunder basketball? I'm like, no, they looked uncharacteristically sloppy. They looked like a team that was a deer in headlights in the fourth quarter. But I also have seen every team that faces the Pacers look like this. So again, at a certain point, I can't just simply say Thunder, Thunder, Thunder. I have to give credit to the Pacers. By the way, I want to say one more time, is making me sick. For the people who are Knicks fans who may be listening to the show, who's like, man, EJ's giving a lot of credit to the Pacers. It's like, well, this is what they do, and they deserve it. They deserve all the credit in the world for how they're playing. And I think that they're putting a lot of people on notice for how they're responding to a lot of the criticism about how they were not going to be a competitive team in this series.
I hate your takes today, EJ.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're making this about the Knicks. That's actually even more impressive than what the Pacers did last night. So I'm just curious. So when the Pacers won game one, 111-110, but lost the turnover battle 25-7, was that Pacers basketball?
Yes, because they also can be sloppy.
Okay.
No, because
so what happens? What happens in game four then? Who wins the turnover?
Sometimes Perloff, you have to. That's the difference in the game. Is what I'm saying. Like, there are going to be games where the Pacers are going to win the turnover battle, and there are games that the Thunder are going to win the turnover battle. Sometimes you got to give credit to the team that won. Sometimes it's not always a team lost the game.
I see what you're saying.
Like, now, sometimes it's the Thunder were clearly playing a 100 miles an hour defensively. The Pacers looked like they had no clue what was going on in terms of what the Thunder were doing defensively. They weren't prepared.
So let me ask you, what happens in game four? Are the Pacers going to win the turnover battle decisively again?
I don't think so. I actually think the Thunder are going to win game four. I think this is going back 2-2.
What about the turnover battle?
That's an unpredictable thing. I don't know.
But you just said that's Pacers basketball. You said this is, and I quote, what they do.
Right, but they're going to force turnovers. Are they going to win the turnover battle? I don't know if the Thunder, I don't know if the Pacers are going to throw the ball a lot. That's the thing. That's not a predictive thing. Like, I don't think you can look at an NBA game and say, I know this team is going to win turnover when they're both strengths of both teams.
Andrew Bogut is here.
That's like saying, who's going to shoot better from three today? Yeah. Is it this team or that team when they're both good three-point shooting teams? It depends on how they play that day.
Folks, did EJ just say this is what the Pacers do? They turn over the other team, right? So it should be predictable that that's Pacer-style basketball.
No, because you're saying
sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
See how he's flipping this question? Because you're saying, don't you say the Pacers turn people over? But you're saying, who's going to win a turnover battle? That also encompasses the other team and how you take care of the ball. The Pacers could win the turnover battle or cause a lot of turnover. That doesn't mean that they also won't turn the ball over.
Well, they didn't force any turnovers in game one. They didn't barely force any in game two.
Right, and we just talked about defensive adjustments, right? What is the first thing you said was they were picking up full court. They changed how they play defense. Yeah. That's going to affect your turnover battle, Mr. Perloff.
I think our real distinction is I think the Thunder really did not play a smart game or a tight game last night, and I think they can fix this turnover problem. I mean, honestly, they weren't. It wasn't Pacers basketball. It was incredibly terrible passes by the Thunder. Like, it's a made basket, and they're not even doing a full court press, and you throw it right to TJ McConnell's chest.
Because these are fatigue turnovers.
Yeah, I don't think that happens again. I think honestly, the coach is going to say, "Hey, if you can't get an inbounds play in, you're not playing anymore." He should have benched Caruso. I'm being dead serious. Like, he should have gotten him off the court. That at any level of basketball, some of the passes he was making were so irresponsible. Kayson Wallace, too, was making irresponsible passes. They have to go to the bench. I think they're going to make a huge adjustment where they go 10 deep again, like they usually do in the next game. Let's hear from Charles Barkley after the game, who commented on this very topic about Coach Mark Daigneault changing his rotation.
It was a two-point game.
No, I know.
Going into the fourth quarter.
Well, it shouldn't have been, because Oklahoma City has been the best team in the NBA all year. What they should have, they are the best team. If you're the best, you don't change anything. We can say, well, you're barely winning or you're barely losing. Grant just hit the point. There's got to be a psychological. I think it's affected their bench. I truly do.
Yeah, I think Charles nailed it, and Grant Hill, he's talking about nailed it. The Thunder got away from Thunder basketball last night. We'll see if they recover in game four. Let us know who you think is going to win the series. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Andrew Bogish with headlines.
Hey, guys. The headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Bogish.
I assume he wants to keep playing for now, but maybe the Knicks should still ask the Pacers for permission to interview Benedict Mathurin for their head coaching
job.
You're
so funny. Mathurin launches and hits. Shot from the edge. A three ball. He has scored 8 of his 25 here in the fourth, and it's a 2-point Pacer lead. Mathurin has been a huge difference maker in this game.
Mark Boyle wasn't wrong on Pacers radio. Mathurin scored 10 of his 27 bench points in the fourth, helping Indy turn a 5-point hole into a 116-107 win, which gives them that 2-1 lead on those Thunder in these finals. Mathurin scored his 27 in just 22 minutes of action.
Just staying ready. You know, whenever my number gets called, just to go in the game and, you know, do the right things and trying to have my team win. That's the whole mindset.
Benchmate TJ McConnell added 10 points, 5 assists, and 5 steals. The first sub to have that combo in finals history, yet Perloff is still not sure if you should have an NBA job.
No, I'm sure. And the answer is no. You have to understand, this guy was a Sixer. He stunk.
He played at Duquesne. Like, go even back that far.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are acting like really? This is not abnormal that TJ McConnell and Benedict Mathurin are torching a 68-win Team Thunder. Like, yeah, of course they are. What are you talking about?
This is the problem that everyone is having right now. No one can process the Pacers.
No. Like,
this is what TJ McConnell does. Benedict Mathurin averaged 17 points a game. And he started 30 games, as I said last night. And when he was starting, he had multiple 30-point games. The dude can play.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but 27 points in an NBA Finals game? You saw that coming? Nobody saw
he
that
had
coming.
22 the other day.
Killed the Knicks in a game. What was the game? The deciding game, right? Game 6.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You guys are right. I should have seen that coming last night.
No, it's not that you shouldn't have seen it coming, per se.
I mean, it's that
now that it's happened, you have to give them credit. I think that's the point.
I love Benedict. I'm actually a big Benedict Mathurin fan. Like, I think he should get more minutes. But I did not see that coming last night at all. Because he played more minutes than he usually does, too. And he killed them.
He's kind of like, he's like a J.R. Smith type. Like, he's kind of a feast or famine player. Like, he could have that kind of game, but he also can give you an 0 for 7. Like, that's the risk of playing him a lot of minutes. That's the risk of giving him a lot of rope. If there's any guy that may play outside of their system, it's going to be him. So sometimes it's risky. But that's the reward you get, is that when he plays with that kind of confidence, his shot is going. He's a very dangerous player.
Oh, my God.
You guys are
not seeing any.
He's number 6 pick in the draft.
Expectations not like, so low.
Ben Mathurin's good. But generally, like, none of this surprises you? None of, like, Ben Shepherd standing tall in the NBA Finals? None of this is surprising to any of you guys? You all saw this coming? That's what... I feel like the Pacers were massive underdogs. I feel like I'm going crazy, like everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. And again, maybe, and I know you're going to bring the Knicks in the role. I promise I'm not doing it on purpose, but maybe it's scar tissue because I've seen this team do this to my team. But again, I was talking to my brother about this last night. It's not just a Knicks thing. Like, ask Bucks fans how they feel about the Pacers, and now ask Cavs fans how they feel about the Pacers. Like, these are teams that went into those series thinking that, okay, this little cute little story is okay, but we have more talent, we have bigger stars. And when that comes up in the players, that's going to show itself. And it just does not against this team.
Right, and they have 3 mathematically impossible comebacks in this postseason. Why would anything that they do surprise us?
So you are taking the Pacers?
No, I'm not taking the Pacers. I am surprised by definition. No. I see, but like, here's the thing. You are giving them zero credit.
No, I'm giving them a lot of credit.
You've given them no credit. In fact, you've given them zero credit, and you can't believe that we're saying anything nice about them.
That's not true at all, but I am surprised that TJ McConnell and Benedict Mathurin and Andrew Nembhard and Ben Shepherd are kicking the OKC Thunder's butt. That surprises me.
Well, see, they didn't kick their butt. They're up 2-1, yes, but they should have lost game one, and they were never in game two.
I'm talking about the bench. The bench destroyed Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City Thunder's bench is very good. That shocked me, yes.
Yes, and if they do it again and again... and this series is over, and they win the series in 6 games, then I'll be surprised.
That would be surprising.
Right, and I'm slightly surprised. Now, I thought this was going to be a 6-game series for the Thunder, so I'm surprised the Pacers already have the 2 wins that I was giving them in 3 games. But, like, this is why they're here, and this is why the Cavs aren't, and the Knicks aren't. This is why they waited almost as far last year.
Right, but I thought the OKC was a much better team, and I'll tell you a couple reasons why. They were 68-14, had the biggest win differential of any team in NBA history.
Yeah.
And listen, the Knicks won, what, 51 games?
Yes.
The Cavs had major injuries. Darius Garland was hurt. The Bucks have, of course, fallen apart. So I thought OKC was better than this.
Is this, though, them feeling the pressure of being in the finals?
Yeah, young
as
team.
As number one and for the first time?
But let me say this, though, and I know you're talking about it's so shocking that Ben Mathurin and McConnell are playing great. But those guys are role players, right? They're not starters. I mean, who is Isaiah Joe and who is Kenrick Williams? Like I'm not saying those guys are scrubs. I respect those guys, too. What I'm saying is I don't see this massive talent depth when it comes to depth. I think the Thunder have much better high-end talent. Like, I think if you look at the combination, the three-man combination of Chet, SGA, and Jalen Williams, I take that over, Haliburton, Siakam, and whoever you want to say the third best player is, I guess, Turner? Like, I would take the high-end Thunder, which is why I had them win the series. But I think in terms of depth, Obi Toppin comes in and he's running around, dunking on people.
Obi Toppin, who you considered a joke when I was talking about it. I said that the Pacers should play Obi more. I actually said they should bench Miles Turner and play Obi, and you're like, yes, please, against the Knicks. And Obi has been killing it.
Because Miles Turner has size. First of all, that's not true, because I said that Cat was killing
you
Miles
literally
Turner.
Laughed at
no, because I no, because go back to the tape. I literally said I hope that they send a Uber for Miles Turner to guard Karl-Anthony Towns. That's literally on tape. So let's not rehash this thing and change it up. What I did say is that Obi Toppin is an up and down player, which is true. This idea that I have to say, because I say something about one guy is a negative, that means that I think the player is terrible entirely. I don't do that. I don't do the TJ McConnell thing like you're asking me to do with Obi Toppin. What he's accomplished.
Okay. I know this is probably too much for the listener because we are having a lot of conversations that were off air. I thought you guys, as former, as Knicks fans, did not totally respect Obi Toppin.
No,
you
came into the thing and said, wow, that guy Obi Toppin, he's crazy. He's running around throwing the ball out of bounds and dribbling all crazy. I'm like, yeah, that's what he does. That's what we told you, which is true. It doesn't mean he also doesn't play well.
Please, Bogus, give me another headline.
Game 4 of this series, by the way, is tomorrow night. It's the only time in the series there's just one off day between games. I watched all of Manny's thirst traps from the batting cage yesterday on Instagram.
Nice swing.
I don't think he hit one this far.
2-2. Swung on and hit high in the air. Deep center field. Carter looking up, and it's gone. It's way gone. Into the Treasure Island home run deck. Byron Buxton does it again.
That's on Twins Radio. Buxton, a 479-foot go-ahead three-run homer. Second longest homer in the majors this season. Minnesota beat Texas 6-2. The Red Sox hit four solo homers to top the Rays 4-3. And Juan Soto, a two-run shot as the Mets push their win streak to 5, 5-0 over the Nats.
Wait, thirst traps?
Isn't that what you're doing?
Hitting stud.
Right.
I was just trying to analyze my swing. Thirst traps, that would never cross my mind. I'm in shock.
Can I ask what speed that video was on? It was oddly slow-mo adjacent.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It just didn't look like game speed, like live.
It was like 0.75 speed of the video.
How dare you?
That's a great idea, though. You should do NFL film style slow-mo of you hitting the ball. That sounds great.
Would I need to do that when I can make contact at regular speed like the video depicts?
Not saying you slow down the pitch. We're saying you slow down the video.
Yeah.
Why? I look great.
You didn't look good, lefty.
I looked. I made better.
The lefty swing was a little.
I made. Yeah. Well, hold on. It was a compact Trent Grisham like swing. Okay, that's my king. Number one. Number two.
But you're trying to get on base when you're up there, lefty. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
Yeah, 100%. And that was my role. I'm 5'8". I'm not 6'7" like Aaron Judge. I'm not mashing the ball 450 feet. Yeah. I'm just trying to dunk.
Do you guys think ladies see a guy taking BP in a batting cage and are like, ooh?
No, dog. That's why I'm shocked that this would even be brought up. Thirst traps? No, I was.
I don't know.
I got more comments from the boys, and that's. I'm satisfied with that.
You're up there being athletic. Your arms are out. Calves are out.
Did you like that?
Making contact with. Yeah.
Is that what you saw?
Uh huh.
I gotta tell you, it's nice. It's better than on your birthday night tomorrow night, sitting home and playing video games and watching the basketball game on your phone.
I mean, that's probably what's going to go down.
It kind of sounds awesome, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, you
all the married men in the room are like,
married men with kids are like, that actually sounds great.
Yeah. You guys envy my life. You guys wish you guys were a 28-year-old single man like me.
No, I wish I could just ask for a night to myself.
Do it. Come
on. To just be like, could everybody leave the house for 36 hours?
Show me something.
Going on the Knicks jokes about the coaching hires, you see Jerry Ferraro was like, I put in a request to play 18 rounds of golf today. Request denied by my wife.
Yeah. I don't have that problem.
You just play.
Damn right. Only problem that I have is if my electricity gets cut. You know what I mean?
My favorite tweet on the the Knicks trying to hire everybody is the Bucks call the Knicks to offer Glenn Doc Rivers and the Knicks denied permission for him to interview. Was it the? I think it was the Bucks. Yeah.
Yep.
That's become a nice little punchline. Well, we'll get to that later in the show. Yeah. All right, folks, thanks very much.
Like
I got it now. I'm going to take the break and go look at Manny in the batting cage. I did not see this thirst trap video. All right, we got to get to the NFL for a minute. There is an encouraging sign for a possible contender. I got to tell you, people are down on this team in the NFL. I'm back in. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ is sitting in for Maggie today. So the running back du jour is Saquon Barkley in the NFL. Everyone's talking about Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley led the Eagles to Super Bowl victory. Everyone forgot about last year's Saquon Barkley, 2 years ago. Christian McCaffrey was the same guy. Of course, yep. Took too many touches in 2023 and wore down big time
that's
in 2024.
Future, Perloff, by the way, what? That's your future.
I mean, science says if you have a huge carry season, you're going to wear down next year. So McCaffrey is a little bit older and has a long injury history, but definitely felt it last year, and the Niners fell apart when he was out there. But good news, Niners fans, McCaffrey back, and he says he's feeling great.
No, I feel great. I think this offseason I spent a lot of time kind of building back a base, starting from scratch. So a lot of it was rehab, and wanted to put myself in a position where I didn't miss a day of OTAs and I could practice and play football again and be healthy and not miss a day. And I did that, and now it's, you know, we can kind of kick back up the training again, but I feel great.
I'm very interested in the Niners as a dark horse team to come out of the NFC, and I'll tell you why. McCaffrey's coming back from injury. Ayuk's coming back from injury. Ricky Pearsall, who did play at the end of the season, but he's going to be fully healthy and get a camp after, unfortunately, being shot before last year's season started. And you're paying more for a defensive coordinator than any team in the NFL. You brought Robert Saleh back. They have fallen off tremendously once they started rotating their defensive coordinators. They drafted defense. I think their line is going to be a little better. And they fixed their special teams, hopefully. Special teams destroyed them last year. Signed a bunch of guys, low-key guys that no one knows about. I'm into the Niners because when they got to the Super Bowl in 2019 with Jimmy G, lost a tough one to the Chiefs, blew a 10-point lead, were terrible the next year, lots of injuries, very reminiscent of 24. Then they came back. I think they were a wild card team, but they were super tough in the playoffs the next year. I think the Niners get back to 49er football. I know there was a lot of distractions with Brock Purdy's contract. They got it out of the way early. So I just think things are shaping up well. And if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, like he says, I think that fixes a lot of their problems, EJ.
I'll tell you what. I will say I kind of agree with you. I think that the Niners will be a much better team next year. But I put a little asterisk on that.
Okay.
It's because of the schedule. The Niners have literally the easiest schedule in the NFL when you go by records from last season. Now, of course, things change. Some of these teams that were bad last year could be good. But the Niners' schedule is extremely soft. So I think what will happen is that they'll be able to beat up on teams. They got their road games are against the Saints. They got a Giants road game. They got the Browns. Like these, the Colts. These are road games that are extremely winnable. So for a team that's going to be traveling cross country, I don't think they'll be tested as much on the road, which I think will allow them to have a little bit of a gaudy record. But yeah. I do think when they start facing these other tougher teams in the NFC, when playoff time comes, perhaps they will look a little bit more like paper tigers.
Okay.
I don't know if I buy them in terms of taking a deep run. Because I think they still have some problems with depth.
Now, that's the thing about it. Kyle Shanahan gets killed for famous postseason mistakes, responsible for 28-3 comeback. Patriots OC of Atlanta at the time obviously took the ball first in overtime against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But I kind of disagree. Once those Niners get into the NFC playoffs, they're way tougher. I mean, they should have beaten the Rams the year the Rams won the Super Bowl, and they were not a great team. I think people take this team way too lightly. I think they've forgotten them already.
You know who I think this Niners team is? I think that this is, to me, when I look at their roster, they're doing the right thing. They're doing what I said that they should do, which is they need to start getting younger and they need to start kind of getting rid of some of these older guys. But I think they're still kind of in between what they're going to be for the next 2.0 Niners. Because they remind me of the Rams from 2 years ago. Remember when it was Aaron Donald's last year?
Yep.
And they had a million rookies and Aaron Donald. That's kind of what I feel when I look at the Niners defense. I see Fred Warner and Nick Bosa and a bunch of just young guys that are going to be out there playing. I feel like they're going to surprise some people who maybe are kind of underestimating them.
Yep.
But they're not going to be a serious Super Bowl contender. Like that Rams team lost to the Lions in the first round of the playoffs. They were good. They were dangerous. But they weren't really serious.
Well,
I think that's kind of what you're going to see with the Rams. They're a team that they'll maybe win a wild card, maybe win a division, who knows. But I think once you get to the playoffs, I think they're going to face some of these tougher teams, Eagles, Lions, those teams. I think they probably get bounced in the first round.
Here's the thing, though. The NFC feels a lot wilder to me. Like the AFC, it feels like every year it's the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. Like those are the three teams. They are entrenched deep into the playoffs. NFC, it's been a lot more erratic.
I think, to be honest, if you're looking at who the teams are in the NFC that have shown playoff metal and can be proven, it'd be the Eagles, the Lions, the Niners, and the Rams.
Those Lions, are the four teams. Lions have showed playoff metal?
2 years in a row, they've advanced at least one round in the playoffs, right?
No, I think they lost their first game last year.
Right, Lions, maybe not. But those are the core teams. I feel like I don't know if it's that much different than because the Ravens have had some early exits, the Bills have had some early exits. Like I think that you could poke holes in that too.
Yeah, but I mean,
Bills lost in the first round to the Bengals a couple years ago. Yeah. Like, they've had their disappointments.
Right, but I look at the odds, and those three teams feel pretty tough to knock off. I mean, the Bills are going to waltz to the AFC East title again. The Chiefs are the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Ravens are the team that I'm circling. Like, they kind of have to win this year.
Yeah.
Like, Lamar Jackson has to win a Super Bowl at some point, right? You would think that the Eagles are a strong favorite in the NFC, but you know what happens to Super Bowl champions? They play deep into February. You have no idea. They lost a lot of key guys. Yep. Will Saquon Barkley be as effective? So I think the NFC is a little more wide open. I think the Niners are one of those teams. I also put the Rams in that mix for sure.
Yep.
I think the Lions lost a lot. I think the Vikings lost a lot. The Packers are a little up and down. So I think those two teams from the West are really interesting to me. We have a long time. It's only
The West is an interesting division, to be honest. Because, I mean, the Seahawks now have Sam Darnold. How does that play into it?
Yeah.
And I want to see what Marvin Harrison Jr. is year two in the Cardinals offense.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the Cardinals are going to start out maybe 6-3, 7-4, and then come back down to earth because that's what the Cardinals do.
Yep.
All right, we're going to get back into the NBA Finals and a little NBA trade talk. There are a lot of big names going on out there, but we actually have a player and teams that might be happening very, very soon. That's next, Maggie Perloff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.